To Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Paul is kind of arrived, and to some extent, at least, where he's going with his argument. He's showing our need of a Savior because of our sinfulness, and then dealing with the struggle we have with the flesh there in chapter 6 and chapter 7, and how to deal with that. Now he's talking about the idea of our standing in Christ. It starts out, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And we're down to verse 5, so let's start there. He says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Now, as a child of God, I am no longer in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. Now I have a choice. As being in the Spirit, and the Spirit dwelling in me, of course, too, I choose to either walk after the flesh or after the Spirit. And that's, as you go through Romans chapter 8 here, that's something important to keep in mind. So, in the flesh is an unsaved person. In the Spirit is a saved person. But now that I'm in the Spirit, I can still walk after the flesh. I choose whether I walk after the flesh or after the Spirit. The person who's in the flesh has no choice. Because they're in the flesh, they will walk after the flesh. So we have this choice before us. And if I walk after the flesh, I am minding the things of the flesh, and I'm carnally minded. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We looked at this verse this morning, but we'll jump over there again tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." Now, these are saved people. He's writing to the church at Corinth. They're a mess. You know, there's a guy that's living in sin with his stepmother there, and as I mentioned this morning, they've got all these other things that they've messed up doctrinally and everything. And he says, they're carnal, but they're saved. But they're carnally minded. So they're in the Spirit, but they're after the flesh with that carnal mind, which is enmity against God, as you said there. He says, I could not speak unto you as in spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are carnal. For as there is among you, and here's the evidence of that, the manifestation of that, there is among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? And let me just go on here for just a moment. Read the next verse. He says, "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal?" See, their whole outlook is on fleshly things. Well, Paul led me to the Lord. Well, Apollos led me to the Lord. Who then is Paul? Or who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe. Even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And you know, I say this because sometimes the way that soul winning is approached fosters this very kind of an attitude. It's not about who led the person to the Lord. Rachel, who was baptized this morning, the woman that with the longer hair that was here to see that, Rachel hasn't seen her in 6 years. Rachel's been saved 2 years. They're from Lancaster. She lived down there. She worked underneath Barb, the one with the long hair, who was a Christian, who had witnessed to her. And when she left, she wasn't saved. She'd been up here for 6 years. She got saved in Tyrone 2 years ago. But it's the seeds. You know, Barb didn't lead her to the Lord, but it was the seeds that she planted, and very likely others along the way as well, that were a part of what God was doing. You know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So, you know, it's a privilege to lead someone to Jesus Christ. What a blessing that is. But to try to claim credit for that, that's pretty foolish. It's pretty arrogant and boastful. But that's the result of carnality. When the emphasis is placed upon people and not the God that's doing the work in the hearts of individuals. And I've kind of deviated a little bit here, but folks, this is seed. And you got no idea where it's going to bring forth fruit. Yep, some of it's going to fall by the wayside. So what? It doesn't cost you anything. Put it out there. And some of it's going to fall on stony ground. And some of it's going to fall among thorns. But some is going to fall on good ground. And it may only be 30-fold. It might be 60-fold, and some of it's going to be 100-fold, but it brings forth fruit. And so our responsibility is to not worry about what the result is, but to just get it out there so that it can do some good. And just hand the tracts out, folks. And when God speaks to your heart about talking to somebody, do it. Yeah, you might get rejected. You might even get mocked or laughed at or ridiculed. You might even have somebody tear the tract right up in front of your face and throw it away. So what? But it was I who was picking up tracts that other guys threw away and reading them that played a part in my coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. We got a responsibility to get the gospel out there and let God give the increase. Amen? So they, and again, I apologize for getting off track there a little bit, but felt like that we needed to do that. But we're walking after the flesh, I'm minding the things of the flesh, and that's exactly what the Corinthian believers were doing. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." What did he do? He says, "Oh no, Lord." Verse 22, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be up far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." "Oh no, God, that's not going to happen." Satan, get out of the way. You're looking at the wrong things. The wrong things are important to you. And you're carnally minded. Look at Philippians 3:19. Skip that one. Go to Colossians 3:2. No, wait a minute. Because I thought that was the wrong one. 3:19. Philippians 3:19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. And then Colossians 3:2. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And that's our struggle. That's our conflict, you know. Do I walk after the flesh or do I walk after the Spirit? Following the leading and the working of the Spirit of God in our lives. Being carnally minded, walking after the flesh leads to death. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Dealing with the Lord's Supper here in 1 Corinthians 11, he says this. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Carnally minded, being walking after the flesh, can lead to physical death. That's what he said there in 1 Corinthians 11:30. Because they haven't judged themselves as the Lord gives us opportunity to do. They've not dealt with the sin in their life, confessing it, repenting of it. They've continued on in it. And because of that, weakness, sickness, and death. Here's the problem. I want to decide who's dying, who's sick, who's weak because of sin. You don't know. You don't know what's going on in people's lives. Now sometimes it's pretty obvious, you know. When you see them stumbling out of the bar room or, you know, hear about him getting picked up for drugs or something, well, yeah, that's pretty obvious. That person has got sin in their life they're not dealing with. But sometimes you think you know and you really don't know the whole story. Be careful. You know, that's for God to judge there. And that's for me to deal with it in my own life. But the result can be the carnal-mindedness, the walking out of the flesh, the result of that can be death. Questions or comments thus far on any of that? Go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 8. Romans 8, 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, that's a person that's lost. And notice what he says in verse 9. But ye, you Roman believers, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. So there he makes it pretty clear that being in the flesh, you can't please God, you're not saved. But you're not in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in you. You are in the Spirit. And that's that distinction there. I can't please God in the flesh, but I also can't please God as one in the Spirit walking after the flesh. Look at Colossians 3:3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3. Start at verse 1, Colossians 3, 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, saved, right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. As one who is in the Spirit, in Christ, I am dead in Christ. That is, the flesh is dead. The power of that thing has been broken. No longer has control over me. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So that resurrection of Jesus Christ, his victory over sin and death has given me that same victory. I'm alive in Jesus Christ now. I have a new life. If any man be a Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God, which hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Look at Romans 6:4. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's the statements that I use when baptizing someone, because that's a picture of what's already taken place. Buried with Christ, buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ is raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's our responsibility now, to walk after the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit's direction in our life. Verse 19 in Romans 6. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. That's that newness of life that we who are saved in the Spirit, as we walk after the Spirit, are now living according or following after that, walking in that newness of life. Look at chapter 7, Romans 7, verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of the letter. So we're delivered from that death, and there's a newness of the Spirit that we're to serve in. Look at Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, not after the flesh, not carnally minded, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Walking in that newness of life. Chapter 13. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Because it's dead. And I'm to be dead to its influences and lusts and desires, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Again, I remind you of 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When I got saved, I became something new. Dead to sin and alive unto God. In the flesh, I cannot please God. God made me that new creature so that now I can please and honor him. And the choices I make will either please him or displease him. So I'm to live to please him, that new creature. Verse 16, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. As I walk in the Spirit, or after the Spirit, in the Spirit, I'm walking after the Spirit, dead to the flesh, dead to the old man, living according to what God desires, then there's peace and the mercy of God. When I lack the peace of God, it's because I've ceased to walk after the Spirit and started minding the things of the flesh. Ephesians 5:8. For ye are sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And one more, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. But He tells us that we are to walk worthy. That's my choice. And back to chapter 7 and chapter 6, that's the conflict that I face as a child of God. The struggle to overcome the lust, the pull, the desires of this flesh, and to submit to the leadings and the promptings of the Holy Ghost. To walk after the Spirit. Questions or comments? Romans 8 and verse 10. He's moving toward the conclusion on this thing now, or maybe not the conclusion, but at least a specific point that he's trying to get at. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Body is dead because of sin. Sin leads to death. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sin leads to death. Verse 11, he says, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, the death I'm speaking of is physical. You know, my soul's sealed. If I'm saved, if I'm in the Spirit, nothing's going to change that condition. What can change is an early termination of this life. God just cuts it short. You're no good to me anymore. I can't use you. Come on home. You're done. You're washed up. Like the Royals pitcher last night in the game. First inning, one out. Pulled after four runs in. That's kind of disgraceful. But not near as disgraceful as a child of God saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ who gets pulled in the first inning, letting four runs in with only one out. That's sad. And you know, the Bible says that he's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Can't prove this from Scripture, but I suspect that's going to be part of at least the reason for those tears that are wiped away. I mean, we're going to be in heaven for eternity. But then we realize some of the things that we've given up for just a moment of pleasure, a moment of giving in to the weakness of our flesh. And probably the best picture in Scripture of that is Moses. At the end of his life, the people of Israel are getting ready to go into the promised land. You got to turn it over to Joshua, Moses. Here's what I'll let you do. Come with me. It takes him up to Mount Pisgah. And he says, you can look over from here. That's where my people are going. That's where I've had you leading them all the way, Moses. But you can't go in. You can see it from here. But because in a moment of anger, instead of speaking to the rock like I told you that had already been smitten, you smote the rock. This is it. And what a picture that is of, I believe, the child of God at the judgment seat of Christ. Here's what you could have had. And I can't prove this, but I suspect that there's going to be some wiping of tears away. Because I gave into this instead of putting it to death and yielding to the Spirit of God in my life. The Spirit is life. I'm born again. I'm quickened. I'm a new creature in Christ, possessing a new life, eternal life. Think about that. God created man, put Adam and Eve in that garden. He said, man, here it is. I've put all this beauty here for you to enjoy, for your pleasure. Just don't eat the fruit on that tree. That's all I ask you. You can look at it. You can even touch it. Don't eat it. And they partook. And it says, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And what Adam and Eve lost in the Garden of Eden, through Jesus Christ, has been restored to us. That's that new life. Now, this is no Garden of Eden. But what we've got to look forward to will surpass it by miles. Lord says, here. This is all yours. As a joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're going to enter into all this. I've got new life. I've got eternal life. This Spirit is life. This life living in me. And what a potential that God gives to each and every one of us with that life. Do you realize that the only thing holding us back from accomplishing great and mighty things for God is me? That's it. God says, just get out of my way and let me work through your life. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's not a select few. That's any child of God. That potential's there. God says, that's what I want to do with you. Just let me. Just say no to this and say yes to me. That's the life that he promises to us. Questions or comments? Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Not to the flesh. To live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Spirit's indwelling me. I need to strive to live after the Spirit or face the consequence of death. Because that's what the result of the works of the flesh are. Walking after the flesh results in death, an early death. Think about it, probably the thing that maybe is at the forefront of the minds of people in this area is that trial that's going on right now for that fraternity. And there's a lot of fingers being pointed and a lot of blame being thrown around, and certainly there's room to throw that blame around. I mean, there's things that probably should have been done that weren't done, and probably things that were done that should not have been done. But the real culprit behind all that is a choice of a lifestyle to live after the flesh. Why is that boy dead? Alcohol. A desire of the flesh. Go to Galatians chapter 5. You may be getting a foretaste of Sunday's sermon. I don't know for sure if the Lord wants me to do this yet or not, but I'm possibly going to be going in this direction. Galatians chapter 5, start in verse 18. Well, no, let's back up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery. That's violating the marriage vows. Fornication. That's promiscuity, whether there's marriage involved or not. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, all kinds of bitter actions there and harmful actions against other people. Envyings. Murders, drunkenness, and revelings. And in case I missed anything, and such like. But the last two, that's exactly what was taking place at that fraternity that night. That's exactly what took place up there all day yesterday with that football game. That's exactly what takes place probably every night and even many days. Not only at State College, but all across this nation. Revelings and drunkenness. I mean, that's what I was a part of before I got saved. It was anything was an excuse to have a party, to get drunk. Revelings and drunkenness. That's the culture of this society. Living after the flesh. That's what the result, the fruit of that lifestyle. And what's the result? Death. Not because God killed them, But because God says, I'm trying to protect you. Hey, son, don't touch that hot stove. It will hurt. God says, don't do these things because it's harmful to you physically. That's the result of sin. And God didn't forbid these certain things because he was trying to withhold from us something good and satisfying. He's trying to protect us. Sin equals death. That's the fruit of that kind of a lifestyle. That's the natural consequence of that thing. That's the warning label on sin. It equals death. The skull and crossbones. Death. That's what Eileen put on some of our picante sauce that she made this year. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4. But let every man prove his work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. If I sow to the flesh, that's the consequence. Corruption and death. Cirrhosis of the liver. And all other kinds of, you know, cancer and all kinds of things because of various sins. God says, don't do that. It's going to hurt you. But I like it. I think it makes me part of the crowd. I think it makes me cool. Whatever the reasoning, and it varies, but the result's the same. Sin equals death. But he says, go back there to Romans chapter 8 again. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. For if we live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's the consequence. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Notice we said, through the Spirit. I can't live the Christian life in my own strength. My flesh lets me down. That's why I've got to reckon myself dead. So that through the Spirit, not through my own self-effort, through the Spirit, I can reap life everlasting and live. 1 Peter 2:11. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. This actually, I think, brings into another view, another equation or part of the equation here. You know, we think about the effect on us physically because of sin, but he said it also wars against our soul. There's that spiritual aspect of it as well. First Peter 4, 2. And that you no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to lust the flesh, but to the will of God. And then Romans chapter 6 and verse 11. Romans 6, 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. As those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. And also Romans 13 and verse 14. We looked at it earlier, but let's go ahead and look at this verse again. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm probably going to get this quote a little wrong, but someone said, temptation usually enters through a door left open. That's what that verse is saying. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. When I fall to temptation, it's because I've left the opportunity open. I didn't shut the door and lock it and bar it and pile furniture against it and seal it shut. It's like, maybe. That's my doing. God's given us all we need. We just need to access it. Any questions or comments on any of that? Okay, we'll stop there. It's kind of a good place to stop anyway. And let's bow for prayer. Father, this is a subject that each and every one of us has problems with in our lives. Daily and sometimes even moment by moment in our lives, a struggle against our flesh. And until we kiss this world goodbye and stand before you, we're going to face this battle. Help us, God, to deny ourselves, to yield ourselves unto you, to seek the strength that you've given us, the power that works in us, to surrender to that, that you might be glorified and honored in our lives. Thank you, God, for your blessings. Thank you for this people here. Pray for the people in Houston, for your protecting, helping them recover, working in the lives of those that are unsaved. We think of, especially of, I know his husband, sister's husband, who's not saved, just bring him to a saving knowledge of you through this. Protect our president, God. Help him to seek you, to yield his life to you, and seek your wisdom and will for the direction of this nation of ours. Guide us through this week, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.